All right, we're going to begin again, guys. You can filter in if you're taking your break. It's okay. I know it's kind of an ordeal to just sit through hour after hour after hour. And the book says we don't want to be lectured to, so this is kind of... And here I am up there with a display board and pointers and, you know, visual aids. It's kind of like... I should have made that amends in the term paper. I should have been teaching in university instead of giving Bigfoot courses. Okay, God, put me where you want me. That was God's plan. My plan was to get away with murder. let's see now. So we've done our fifth step, withholding nothing. The fifth step has some phenomenal promises associated with it. Yeah, you can get this stuff on the internet too from Diane V. She's got an interesting little website. The fifth step promises, if you really let it all, and I'll tell you, my original fifth step was, I really felt like I could stay sober. And I was abstinent at the time. No, actually, wait. I'd done it in AA, and I was on my way to France. And I knew I should do a fourth and fifth step before I go to France. But I wasn't solid in OA yet. And sure enough, I stayed sober in France with no problem. But that's where I hit my bottom. And you guys, the guys from the first session heard my OA story. If you want to hear my OA story, they got a case of me up in the website from the Light a Candle group and all that. I'm not speaking a bit. And I didn't stay abstinent in France. I was binging my brains out, and that's where I hit my bottom. And thanks to the grace of God, I'm abstinent now. So I've got an interesting story. But I did feel like I could stay sober after I'd done my first step. Promises associated with step five. These are on page 75 of the book. If we've taken a step withholding nothing, okay, we're delighted. I withheld the term paper. That cost me my life. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone in perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. Okay? And in your case, the food problem. This is a great one. We feel we're on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. And I didn't quite feel that. What I felt like, okay, I'm a part of AA now. My OA bottom was still yet to come. I said, I'm a part of AA now, and I think I'm going to be able to stay sober, which is amazing considering the kind of drunk I was. My AA bottom was still about to happen in France. I was on my way to France, 8 months sober, 2 weeks on Gracie, hey, Ron, 2 weeks on Gracie, white knuckle accident, lost it on the plane going to France, binged my first month in France, gained 30 pounds my first month, out of control in the Paris group of O-Readers Anonymous, the shakiest, flakiest, hairiest group that ever existed in O-Readers Anonymous. The bulimics are puking, the anorexics are starving, the O-Readers are binging, nobody's abstinent, I'm 8 months sober, spouting off passages from the 12 to 12, I can't stop eating bread. You know, I'm taking a whole wheel of Coulommiers and lathering up a big baguette a pan over there the size of a Yule log that would feed a family for a week. My French roommates, and I wouldn't drink wine with it. My French roommates are offended. All their Gallic sensibilities are on edge. Not only am I overeating, which they wouldn't even eat breakfast, they eat a bowl of cocoa or coffee for breakfast. They eat out of a bowl. I don't know what it is in the French with a bowl. That's what they used to do. But not only am I eating this Yule log covered with cheese, I'm refusing to drink red wine. I'm drinking like Vichy water with it. So I'm sober and I'm gaining weight. So I wasn't quite solid in OA at that point. Okay? Let's talk about 6, 7, 8, 9. This is really about remember, it's really crucial to have a sponsor who knows what we're driving at here. We're going through a purification ritual to make us a maximum service to other people. Naturally, I don't want to overeat again. Naturally, I don't want to be miserable. Naturally, I don't want to have page 52 of my life, prey to misery and depression, full of fear, can't make a living, can't control my emotional nature. But what I'm really doing here is getting rid of the obstacles which will block me to be an agent of the higher power. He's my director, I'm his actor. He's my principal, I'm his agent. He's my father, I'm his son. He's my employer, I'm his worker. But I've got all these resentments, and I've got, you know, like somebody was telling me, I still probably have it in my tone of voice in my first sponsor. I never think, you know, resentment literally means from the Latin, res sentire, sentire means to feel, re means to feel, you know, repeat, repeal, regain means to do it over again, reiterate. So our resentment is when I'm feeling an injury or a hurt over and over and over again. I used to have an ex-Al-Anon girlfriend who would see me with my resentments when I was about 7 years out of front. She'd go, you have a little corn in your head, don't you? Like, I get a little corn in my shoe and it hurts. You got a little corn in your head. And she could see me when I was like, I said, where are you? Come back. And she could see I'm sitting there with her, supposed to be paying attention to your girlfriend, right? And I'm thinking about some clown and what he did to me. And so one of our guests said that, you know, Roy, I can still hear it in your voice. And the truth is, I don't think about my first sponsor ever, hardly. I mean, he's definitely a dead issue. He's dead. By the way, you don't get a lot of mileage out of resenting dead people. I mean, you know, you really can't get even with them. So, but when I think about the topic of sponsorship, okay, that anger probably still comes up subconsciously because I feel it was a real betrayal and a hurt. And I'll put them on the inventory. I'm going through the steps again, 32 years into this. Maybe there's something I can do to pray for them, or I don't know what I can do with this clown. But the reason I bring it up is, you know, as I explained to our members earlier, this crew that I'm working with now, Dan S. and the Big Book Awakening people, Book Thumpers, Herb K., he's a book thumper. These guys have pioneered this network, pioneered, it was around for years, but it's all about sitting with a guy, taking him through the book, turning the statements into questions. And there's one of their members, Chris R. If you email me, I'll send you a list of the best workshop, the best book reader, the best circuit speaker. I'll be glad to send it to you, along with this file attached to the emails in Microsoft Word document. Be glad to do it. So this guy, Chris R., when I first heard him, he's a book thumper. And he'd say, like, these people, they're killing people. If you don't want to do this, if you don't want to have a spiritual awakening, okay, but don't put your poison out there in the meetings. You're killing people. These open discussion meetings, they're horrible. They're killing people. You know, they only want big book meetings, these guys. They don't even sell the 12 and 12 exam. I mean, they're really over the top. But, I mean, I'm kind of a fellow traveler with them. But when I first heard Chris R., I thought, man, this guy is over the top. You got to chill a little bit, you know. But then I realized I'd gone through a similar thing. If I'm working a sponsor's program, I get his promises. If I work Frank the Atheist's program, I get Frank the Atheist's promises. If I work Carol the Dry Dunks program, I get Carol the Dry Dunks promises. I worked RTG's program, it almost killed me. 7 years into this, I'm dying of untreated addiction, alcoholism, compulsive overeating. The spiritually dying. I wasn't drinking and I wasn't binging. It's actually probably a little lighter than him now. I was younger then too. I was still running 6 miles a day. So I never think of this guy except when I think about sponsorship. And I realized that people are doing what they're going to do and they have the right to do it. You can do anything you want in this program, including not give up sugar, not get a food plan, not work the steps. You can do anything you want. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. But don't misconstrue it. I explained this in session one. Most of you guys weren't here. Our book is meant to suggest it only. Doesn't mean like, well, he's got a suggested program over here. He's got a suggested program. It means we're dying of alcoholism until 1935. We come up with a way out. We can live, and we suggest you do it too. But we can only suggest you do it. We can't make you do it. So I learned the hard way that whatever my sponsor is doing, I'm going to get his promises. And that's why when I work with a sponsee, we're not doing the Royal program. I got no promises. I got no program. I got no steps. We're doing this. I don't want my sponsees to be like me. Or, you know, I got nothing, no promises to give them. I want them to have these promises. And what I've learned 32 years into this is, if I want what's on page 84, the 10-step promises, I got to do what's on page 1 through 83. It's that simple. if I want the ninth step promises on 83, 84, I got to do what's on 1 through 82. The same rocket science. If I work Frank the Atheist program, I get Frank the Atheist promises. And if you're a real compulsive overeater, which means for you to eat is to die, which is a quote from the book, be careful what you're betting your life on. That's it. And I'm speaking as someone who went through this, and I hope that's not too angry with my first sponsor, but I guess it's still there. You know, I felt very betrayed. I can't blame him. Well, hold on. I don't know if you remember, but when I said when you're looking for a close-mouthed friend who knows how to keep a confidence, Roy L.'s suggestion was pray for guidance. That I didn't do. Why did I pick my first sponsor? We had something in common. I asked one guy, he looked very busy to me. He's a successful business. He had me meet him in his office at work. He's kind of a big shot. He had his own company. Really interesting guy, actually. And he just seemed very busy. The second guy I asked was this old timer with over 30 years from New York, and he said, I don't do that anymore. That tells you right there, I don't know what program that guy's working. You know, now I'm new, right? Have no idea what the hell's going on. Love the book from the beginning. But, you know, AA's been around by this time, 1978. It's been around, 40-something years, right? I don't know what's going on. I'm asking these guys. And then I finally, this I had something in common with this one guy. He said yes, and he seemed to like the attention. And he immediately starts calling me every day. He was kind of a Clancy wannabe, but he didn't have the goods, you know what I mean? But, and people would come up to me and say, why'd you ask him to sponsor you? I mean, you don't usually get that. Like, if she said, well, she's my sponsor, I wouldn't say, like, what's getting her for? What are you nuts? But I was getting that. I mean, this guy was an obvious loon. And, I mean, he stood out, but I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it because I come from a background, I was in a cult. I mean, I got a hell of a war story in AA. I don't even bother to tell him, though. But I was so used to crazy people, like, I didn't notice they were crazy. I mean, I got a hell of a story, you know. So, I couldn't tell the ship from the Shinola. I really couldn't. So that's why I suggest you stick close to the big book. You get a guy who's working out of the book, at least if you go through the step process outlined in the book, you've got a good chance of manifesting the book promises. If you're working somebody's opinion of what this thing is, well, good luck. I don't know what their promises are, you know, but I suggest you find out before you start working with them. So I thought Chris Raymond was over the top when I first heard him, but now I'm not so sure he's over the top. Because I said, holy mackerel, that actually did happen to me, didn't it? Anyway, I don't want to be angry at anybody. It's no use resenting dead people. So I'll put this person on my inventory. He is sick, that's for sure. I do see him as sick. Today, a guy like that would be a salient dry drunk. I wouldn't go near him. It wouldn't even attract me. I wouldn't be interested in it. I wouldn't waste time talking to him. Okay? There's plenty of them left. This gives me you guys missed the session when I'll give you a little bit of overview before I get back into this process. Half the program today is on medication for depression in AA. I don't know about OA at all. A lot of them not worth the steps as outlined in the book. A lot of them are still meeting dependent. I can see them, they're desperate for that love and meeting. There's nothing wrong with giving love and hugs and kisses and meetings and support each other, but they're desperate because they haven't had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. In the last analysis, we found the great reality deep within ourselves. The higher power is within me. And if your light is on and my light is on, we'll probably attract each other anyway. The fellowship I crave will grow up around me, say. They don't interest me anymore. I'm not interested in going to meetings. So this brings me back to Chris Raymer. He used to say, these open discussion meetings. And I'm saying, hey, you're a little bit closed-minded. Aren't you a little bit rigid about this? But to tell you the truth, you know, if I'd rather have a meeting that starts at least with a reading from the literature. Because that's where the solution is. So at least the solution is being put out into the atmosphere. If it's just everybody talking about their day and garbage dumping. So this book flipper meeting, Ryan's been to it. On Thursday night, I call it the anal book study. That's not the real name of it, but where we go through the paragraph by paragraph. They say right in the format, this is not a meeting about talking about your day or your relationship or your problems at work. The only proper topic in this meeting is the paragraph in front of us in the big book and how you would work with a newcomer using that paragraph, right? And we will direct you back to the format if you start talking about you. He knows. I've seen, I don't know how many people, I've been going there about 7 years, I've seen people like go into convulsions at that meeting. Because, you know, all we're talking about is a solution. We don't want to hear your opinions about anything. But, you know, we want to hear what your experience with it in the big book, or when you take a sponsee through the big book. If you're new, I highly suggest, and that's all you can do, that you at least have one book study in your repertoire. By the way, I went to an OA book study in Santa Monica on Tuesday night, 7 p.m. or 7:30, and it's 18th, and excellent. They're going through the book. Well, they don't read. They go for about 3 or 4, I don't know, they read for 10 minutes, I don't know. But it was good. I really had a good experience there. So OA has got the message loud and clear that the solutions in the big book, perhaps better than a good half of AA at this point. When I was in AA in 1978, you didn't hear this message. If you went to a sub-study, they were always using the 12 and 12. The only one was Ray O'Keefe. He was up North Miami. And the one time he was given the steps down in Coral Gables, I missed him. I wasn't there. He was the only one I knew who was carrying the original message of Alcoholics Anonymous in 1978 in AA. That's a damn shame. And that's why Joe and Charlie basically went around the program, reteaching AA their own program back in the 70s. That's what that's all about. Okay? So OA has gotten the message loud and clear, and my hat's off to you. You're to be commended. Arlen's book study is excellent. Lori's is excellent. Okay, so we've listed our resentments. We've listed our fears. We've listed the people we've harmed in our relationships and our sex life. We listed money, people we owe money to, right? We put down our deepest, darkest secrets, the things we're guilty about. We read it to the sponsor. We withheld nothing, okay? Now, the book says when you're ready to do your sixth step. Good. Well, let me read it to you. These are the considerations for the sixth step. Turning the statements in the book into questions. The page numbers are all 76. Do you realize you're not going to work on your character defects? They're about to be cast out. We're talking about an exorcism here, folks. You're not going to work on your character defects. Okay? Any more than you're going to work on your compulsive overeating. Do you realize that OA is not a self-help organization? Do you realize that you need to pray for God to take me and use you any way you can? Do you realize that what you're praying for is the willingness, courage, and power to make the amends? That's what you're really praying for. Because that shows you're really willing to give up the defect. If you're not willing to go to that person and apologize for assaulting or whatever the hell you did to them, you're not willing to give up your anger yet. Okay? What got me to stop stealing 13 years into the program was paying back the money. Then I stopped stealing. I said, this is embarrassing to go to somebody and say, you know, give them the money. I remember Mill Valley Market. I remember driving down Mill Valley. I had to force that wheel to the left. I go in there, I go, you know, I used to steal food, and I'm an overeater. I said, what am I stealing? Food. And I'm taking the expensive labels from the filet mignons and switching it with the, you know, cheaper cuts from eating filet mignon at, you know, chuck steak prices, you know. Nickel dime bullshit over food, right? This is a financial mend over food. I said, I owe you about, I don't know, what it was, $35.75. And I ran the kind of check and he goes, I read about guys like you. He goes, that was that mean? He was laughing. He didn't know what to do with the money. But the point is, these are the considerations for the sixth step. You realize what you're praying for is the willingness, courage, and power to make the amends. Have I looked at this list of names carefully because it holds to the key to the future? That's why that name is on that list. Okay, a thief will fall in amongst thieves. Okay, you can't cheat an honest man. When the kind of lousy job I used to have when I was drinking was, you know, selling commodity options in boiler room, high pressure sales. And the salesman will tell you, you know, greed. You got to play on the greed. You can't cheat an honest man. If somebody doesn't want to get rich quick, he's not interested in your crazy scheme. You know what I'm saying? So, And I realized in character defects and actions, it put my name on this list. My stepping on the toes of my fellow is what put that name on the list. They did something to me in retaliation. Yeah, okay, no problem. That's second column. We covered that. Why is he on the list, though? Because of the character defect I have. Why do I get so many tickets in Santa Monica? Because I don't want to pay the goddamn traffic laws. It's the truth. And this is from the book of Joe and Charlie. I forget what page. So having someone react to what I've done to them first. Joe points out that it's almost always I've done something to them. That's why they did it to me. And now I'm hating them for it, see? These are your six-step considerations and realizations. Oh, hey, I found the page. Joe and Charlie, page 109. On a resentment, that's this edition. On a resentment list, there was not a single person who did something painful to us before we did something painful to him or her. In each case, we had done something to create a problem for that person first. So what the book is saying is, now this is the instructions. I'm going to explain to you something now that has been going on for years in the program. People are always pointing out, well, God damn, there's only like a paragraph on the 6th and 7th step in the big book. And then they go to the 12 and 12, and there's two whole chapters, right? Either the OA 12 and 12 or the AA 12 and 12, doesn't matter. Well, I'll tell you why. And that's why you're here at this workshop, right?
That's right.
All right. Because what this really is a simple realization. The reason it's so short, 6 and 7. He was expanding the 6 steps into 12 anyway, the ones they were using previously. The restitution step of the Oxford group became 6, 7, 8, and 9. He expanded into 4 steps. But what they really want you to do is, after you do your 5th step, is to return home for an hour and review this. Let me read it to you. Page 75. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we've done. So we've got, all right, am I powerless over food? Okay. Am I crazy around food? Yes. Do I need a higher power to restore my sanity? Yes. Am I willing to search for this higher power, to go through this process, third step decision? Yes. Now I'm looking at my inventory. I've done it. Have I done an honest inventory? Yes. Are all those names there? I left that pen and paper off. Mine wasn't really honest. Some of these we bought. Here's a balker. Did I tell my sponsor everything in the 5th step? So you're reviewing, returning home, we find a place where we require for now, review carefully what we have done, the first 5 steps. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Now why do we know God better at this point? Because our sponsor told us, God does not want you to be a bully. That's why you got bullies in there. God does not want you to have debt. That's why you got these creditors on your list. God does not want you to have these women that hate you. That's why you got to stop doing this stuff. Okay? Taking down this book down from our shelf. By the way, Scott L. hasn't put the book on the shelf just so they can take it down from the shelf. I mean, Scott L. is a trip, but he's a great speaker. I highly recommend his tapes. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, right? This is the work we've done. We ask if we have omitted anything. Now, once again, the old architectural metaphor. For we're building an arch through which we shall walk a free man. Is our work solid? Are the stones in place? Etc., etc. If we can answer to, so what is, why is it so short? Because step 6 is really a step of contemplation. Just as step 4 was a step of inventory and listing, and step 5 was a step of confession. Step 6 is short because you're really just contemplating what you've done for an hour. Seeing if you're honest. Seeing if you left everything out. Seeing if you understand what we're really doing here. So, if we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Okay, alright, I don't want to steal anymore. I don't want to be an angry, cowardly bully. I don't want to abuse women. I don't want to steal meat from the Mill Valley Market. I don't want to compulsively overeat. I don't want this, that, and the other thing. So, can he now take them all, every one? You're asking, it's a step of contemplation. You're asking, are you really ready to give this stuff up? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. What does that mean when you ask in a big book?
Pray.
Pray. So this is a simple step of contemplation and prayer. And what? And then it says, if when ready, we say something like this. So you're already into the seven-step prayer. Why is it so short? Because you really, or I learned, that when I got this list, we looked at this list carefully because it held the key to the future. When I've got this list in front of me, the question I'm really asking is, do I want this shit in my life anymore? Do I want this kind of person? When I got a resentment, especially resentments, think about this, folks. When I got a resentment, I'm waking up thinking about the last person on the planet I want to be thinking about. You get it? I want to be thinking about some pretty girl, and I'm thinking about this asshole who intimidated me. Okay? Or this person that I can't look in the eye because I know I ripped them off. Or this woman that hates my guts because I know I was an idiot towards her. Okay? That, and so we're contemplating the work and deciding, do I want this in my life? That's all. That's why it's so short. And then if you're ready, we're going to say a prayer. Uh-oh. Did I just get the administrator? Did I shut myself off?
I think we might have a little
time. We have a little what?
That light just went out.
Oh, the light went out?
You can use that microphone.
Oh, I can? What's, where is it? Is it on? Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Brian. Brian's a techie kind of guy. So if I'm ready, and I don't, the answer is I don't want to be thinking about this asshole anymore. I don't want this kind of person in my life anymore. I say a prayer. So that six and seven are merely contemplation and prayer. What am I really praying for? This is where it gets interesting. Let's read the seven-step prayer. When ready, we say something like this. My Creator. I wonder if he's losing the tape, though.
Yes.
Brian, maybe you could grab the guy and...
How do we get him?
Yeah, thanks. When ready, we say something like this. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. You see, the real purpose is we're getting exercised, we're getting purified so we can be of use to other people. Of course I don't want to have resentments. Of course I don't want to owe people money. Oh, okay. But the real purpose. All right. Grant me strength, I go out here and do your bidding. Amen. Then we've completed step seven. So why is there only two paragraphs in the big book? Because it's the six and seven are really steps of contemplation and prayer. I'm contemplating, do I want this mishigas in my life anymore? And if I don't, mishigas is a Hebrew word, means craziness. You know, and if I don't, then I'm asking for power. Okay, I'm willing that you should have all me good and bad. Now, what's the power that I'm asking for? Who knows? I explained it to you 5 minutes ago. I'm asking for the power to make the amends. That shows I'm willing to give up the defect. If I'm not willing to make the amends, and I'm praying right here for power to make the amends. I decided I don't want bullies in my life anymore. I gotta go apologize to somebody I bullied. It's that simple. I'm ready to give up the defect. I realize it's created hurt in my life and other people's life. So the six and seven are so short because it's just steps of contemplation and prayer. And of course, this is something that I've concluded over the years. Notice that it says, my Creator, I'm now willing to have all of me, good and bad. That's interesting. Why didn't it just say, all these bad defects, why don't you take it from me? I pray you now remove from me every single defect. Okay. You remove from me. Are you still working on your defects here? You're asking your higher power to take them. You're asking for power to make amends to show that you're willing to give up the defect. And trust me, when you go into the Mill Valley Market and give them money and feel humiliated, you don't want to steal from supermarkets anymore. You really don't. It does change your perspective. You see, making the amends shows that I'm willing to give up the defect. If I'm just willing to say I'm sorry, I'll do the same thing to you the next day. We'll get into that with the amends. All right, testing. Yeah. Testing. Everybody can hear? Yeah. Hopefully we're being recorded. For those of you who weren't here, we had a battery go out, so I'm going to recap a little bit. We're in the sixth and seventh step, trying to answer the age-old 12-step mystery, which I've heard talked about now for years. Why is it only two paragraphs on 6 and 7 in the big book and two whole chapters in the 12 and 12? The answer is because 6 and 7 are nothing more than steps of contemplation and prayer. And what we're really praying for, if we decide we really want, are willing to let this stuff go, and I don't want this kind of a person, I don't want to be waking up anymore thinking about this kind of person, then I have to be willing to let go of the defect that manifests that person on my inventory. Remember, we're considering a manifestation of self. Guys in the mafia always hate other guys in the mafia. I guarantee you that Sammy the Bull was on John Gotti's resentment list. Okay? Because I'm always going to manifest myself on my resentment list. Okay? Birds of a feather will flock together. Okay? That's who I'm going to have on my resentment list. I'm going to attract sick people if I'm sick. If I'm a thief, I will fall in amongst thieves. So I'm considering the manifestations of self, and it shows up on the resentment list. So then the question in step six is, and I'm doing it for an hour, I'm looking at my inventory, I'm looking at the first five proposals, the first five steps. Did I leave anything out? Do I really agree with my sponsor? He said, I'm angry, that's why I'm colliding with all these angry people. I've got to give up anger. I've got to apologize to all these people I lost my temper with. Is he right? Am I willing to give this up? I'm thinking about this for an hour, which is the directions in the big book. And if the answer is yes, I'm on my knees saying that prayer for power. And now we were just about to talk to Jessica's question about why is it good and bad? And here's the answer. I don't get to decide which character defects are going to be lifted. It's that simple. If I was turned into a saint, first of all, who do you know in the program that's been turned into a saint? Because I don't know anybody. We're not saints. The book says we're not saints. Nobody's going to have all their character defects lifted. Bill says something like this in the 12 and 12, too. Yeah, we're going the wrong way. There we go. So, so the point is, I'm not going to have all my character defects lifted. And I don't get to decide which ones. If I'm running the show, right? Remember, I'm looking for something I'm looking with. The mind that said a vat of ice cream is a cure for my rent being late, that's the mind I bring into Overeaters Anonymous. Now this mind is going to decide which defects should go, which shouldn't go. No. What happens is this. You ask for the power to make the amends, to get those names off your resentment list, to get those guilts, to get those creditors you duck in, to apologize, to do what you can to make it right with the women that whatever you did to them. And then let the higher power decide what happens next. And I'll give you a perfect example. I was so pissed off, I could never get enough time to tell my story in OA. Because I got a pretty good OA story. My Roz has heard me 100 times. She invites me down to the Laguna there, and she likes me. So, okay. I like Roz. So, she gives me enough time. You give me, 45 minutes or something. She gives me enough time. But Serenity Sunday, 20 minutes. I could never tell my story in 20 minutes. I can't even get out of the cheese in France in 20 minutes. I just got, there's no chance to talk about the steps, no chance to talk about anything. And I would, and then I got to this phase where I go up to Serenity Sunday every time they ask me to speak, and the first 5 minutes was complaining about the fact that they don't give me 20 minutes. And now I've got 15 minutes to tell my story. And this was going on and on. And finally I say to myself, why curse the darkness when you can light a candle? So I start the 5:30 Brentwood meeting, where I say to my co-conspirators at the time, Walter G. and Mickey B. and whoever else was involved, I say, listen, I'm going to start an OA meeting based on an AA speaker's format. We're going to give the main speaker at least 35, 45 minutes after how it worked in the birthdays. We're going to give enough time to tell the story. And Walter says, great, let's take the speakers. So he's a co-conspirator. I said, great. I tried to get Doris, but then the tape was lost. And, she got sick. Roseanne was actually the first speaker, which she deserves the honor. She really does. I shouldn't have tried to slay her, I guess. I owe her a number. But she got to be our first speaker. And next thing I know, the meeting's a success. With tape, I'm getting everybody from all over the program, starting with the long-timers. And we got Maxine from the Valley, and we got everybody. Next thing you know, John Kay comes up and he says, hey, you got all these tapes. And I was sending some to Jeannie B in Michigan. I sent her care packets of tapes so she could jumpstart the program. Apparently, she's in a very wealthy, savage section of Michigan with no OA meetings. And next thing, John Kay says, well, I think I can talk to the board. We can put them on the website. Next thing I know, the whole virtual speaker bureau started. Okay? People from all over the world are listening to these tapes. I come back from Australia. She listened to them. Look for Roy L. I'm up there. I just got back from Australia. I spoke a lot over there, actually. I turned them on to the tapes, you know. Here's the point. This all started with my resentment and the idea that these people aren't giving me enough time to talk. You see? Never, God takes even a character defect and he puts it to use. You see, I used to say, the problem with you, Roy, is you fall in love with your own voice, you know. People say, you're arrogant, you always want more time to speak, you know. Maybe I am arrogant, maybe I have vanity, maybe I fall in love with my own voice. God doesn't care, he'll take my defects. I'm giving my higher power everything. God, you can have me good and bad, and you do with me what you want. I don't get to decide which defects get to go, which defects get to stay. If I got rid of all my defects, I'd be a saint. You know, I'd probably be glowing somewhere or something. I don't know. Maybe I'd be in the Playboy mansion. I don't know. But, listen, these guys like Clancy, they're great circuit speakers. They know they're good speakers. They're not going to pay some guy to go halfway across the wall to the world to put an audience to sleep. So they got a little bit of recovery ego. That's what I like to call recovery ego, you know. We're human beings here. Clarence Snyder, he pulled AA out of the Oxford groups in Cleveland. Dr. Bob was his sponsor. You can't do this, Clarence. We owe our lives to these people. Look, the Catholic Church won't let them go. Well, that's too bad. We're not keeping them out. No, we don't need the Oxford groups anymore. The book's out now. We got our 12 steps. The Catholics deserve to recover from alcoholism. Clarence was always known as an abrasive, pig-headed guy, you know. Because of him, AA started in Cleveland. Then he gets the Cleveland Plain Dealers articles published. We get our first publicity. Before the Saturday Evening Post articles, puts AA on the map in the Midwest. Okay? Because he is not going to listen to a sponsor. Because he's a pig-headed guy. He likes to lead and do things. God will take my defects and use them. He'll take my assets and use them. What gets to being removed usually, now this is crucial, is the stuff that's manifesting resentments on that list. Okay, this is a very subtle point. My vanity about speaking really didn't hurt anybody else. Okay, but when I used to argue politics with my sponsees, they would fire me eventually. They only want to listen to his political views. I mean, I'm not kidding. I started manifesting resentments because then I would argue politics down at the chess park where in Santa Monica where I played chess. The next thing you know, there's some guys threatening me and I got resentments and then I go through the steps again. I got to apologize to these assholes. But you know what happened? I stopped arguing politics. The book doesn't say we avoid argument except for political arguments. It says the book says we avoid argument and retaliation, period. Any kind of argument, political, social, economical. You're all entitled to your ethnic, religious, intellectual, aesthetic, cultural, cuisine prejudices. They're your business. But I don't argue with anybody. But I was, and it was costing me sponsees. So see, and I'll manifest resentments, and then I'll have to go through this process to get rid of the resentments. And then, but then I let go. I stopped arguing politics. Okay? The higher power knows what's got to go and what's got to stay. So let me read that Step 7 prayer again, because I don't know if you got it in this key. My Creator, now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. Vanity, speaker ego, recovery ego. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. The stuff that's got to go is the stuff that keeps me from helping newcomers, like hitting on women newcomers. Grant me strength as I go out there to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7, 2 paragraphs. Has the mystery been cleared up? That's why it's so short. It says there are 2 steps of contemplation and prayer for power to remove the defects that are creating the resentments. We looked at this list carefully because it held the key to the future. And why do these things have to go? Because these things that are manifesting resentments, unlike my desire to hear my own voice, the things that are manifesting resentments are things where I am colliding with my fellows and they're retaliating. So anger, bigotry, argument, dishonesty, hitting on newcomer women, these things are gonna, that makes me not a good OA member, see? That's got to go. I don't decide, well, I'm lazy, I'm sloppy, I'm not very ambitious. Higher power doesn't care about that. That doesn't keep me from helping people. But, you know, other stuff will. So we let the higher power sort it out for us, see? So all you need is two paragraphs. The book knows what it's doing, trust me. Now, we're going to get into more action immediately. Now, when? The future? Now, we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. We're in steps 8 and 9 now. We've seen our problem based on whose names are on that list. You know, the old nerve. Now, the one exception, I should throw this in here. If you've been molested as a kid, sexually, whatever, abused, whatever, your defects didn't manifest that person's name on your list. You're an innocent little kid, and the adults are like gods to you, and if they betrayed your trust and been abusive or sick or perverted or whatever, that's their problem. You didn't manifest an incest uncle or something because of your character defects. You're just in the wrong place in the wrong time in a very sick family. Okay? But the book says we resolutely look for mistakes. If I'm today thinking about something that happened 20 years ago, that's my mistake. I cannot let an incident like that ruin my whole life. And if something like that's happened to me, it may affect my entire sex life for the rest of my life and how I treat women or whatever. So my mistake is not my character defect. Like, I'm angry, therefore there's another angry guy on my resentment list. That's not true of this situation. But the mistake is, I can't let the guy, I still gotta see the guy as sick. The book says that's how you master resentment. We gotta see him as sick. We see him as sick. Doesn't, now, this is the key. I'm glad I remembered to talk about this. There's another little book I brought with me. Bill Wilson, at all times, had four books on his desk. Two of them he wrote himself. They were The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, he was at least the first draft writer, and The 12 and 12 Alcoholics Anonymous. The third was the Holy Bible. Why not? He came in as a Christian, in the Oxford groups anyway, and he continued to be a Christian, although he didn't practice religion like Bob did. The fourth was a book called Sermon on the Mount by Emmett Fox. I guess I get emotional about two books. I mean, I'm emotional about this book. Sermon on the Mount, which is based on the Jesus' teachings in the book of Matthew, Emmett Fox explains that when I am hating someone with a resentment, I'm tied to that person by bonds of hatred. I'm waking up thinking about the last person on the planet I want to be thinking about. And he says, to forgive somebody gets a bad name. People think to forgive somebody means you got to be their friend, you got to like them, you got to hang out with them, you got to approve of them, you got to introduce them to your... That's not what forgiveness means. Forgiveness means I'm cutting the bonds of hatred that tie me to the person. He says that, you know, if you're going to keep somebody a prisoner, it takes two people to have a prisoner. It takes the prisoner and the jailer. You can't just have the prisoner not, you know, by himself. Guards have to be in the prison too. I'm stuck to this person with bonds of hate. Forgiveness just means I'm not going to retaliate against him. I'm going to stop thinking about him. I'm going to see him as sick. Okay? And the book says that too, basically. You have to master resentments. So, even if I'm an innocent kid who's been molested, if I'm still hating that person, that's my part of it. It's ruining my life. And maybe hurting other people that I'm dealing with, you know. If you're a woman that's been molested, you're probably going to have some interesting men in your life, you know, or treat your male relationships in a strange way. It may have twisted your whole psyche and vice versa. So, trust issues, etc. So, I can't let something like that ruin my life. I have to see him as sick. But it doesn't mean you got to approve of. You can turn them in. You can say to your cousin, I'm not going to your wedding. Why? Well, I don't want to upset your wedding or upset you. I can't tell you unless you tell me to tell you. Tell me. It has to do with your father. I don't want to tell you. I don't want to tell you because it's going to upset you. No, tell me. You give me your permission. Your wedding. Okay, all right, your father molested me. And I'm not coming to your wedding. But you'd be, when you know, that's an amend to yourself, but you have to make sure other people aren't going to be hurt by it. So you got to get their permission. But you don't have to pretend something didn't happen that happened. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness means you're just not going to hate this idiot the rest of your life because he's a waste of time. But you don't have to have anything to do with it. I've made amends to people. This one guy in France who intimidated me, I made amends to him. I sent him a letter. It said no response to this letter is either solicited or necessary. And I didn't put my return address on it. And I saw the guy, you know, the book thumpers don't like this. They said, well, you're supposed to heal him. Heal him. I was the one that hurt, got hurt. When I don't stop somebody from doing something that's hurtful and I don't speak up for myself, I'm hurting myself. The amends is to me. That doesn't mean I got to hit him with a tire on him. I say, you know, that's really abusive and it's hurting me. I can't put up with it. But I have to speak up for myself. So I sent him a letter saying, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and I apologize for losing my temper. I cleaned up my stuff. I saw the guy years later, dead air. I had no interest in him. He apparently had no interest in me. I'm not looking to be his friend. Apparently he had no interest in me. Fine. I'm cool with it. I just don't want to be thinking about this yo-yo. Same with my old sponsor. See, maybe I have forgiven him. But I only think about him when I'm talking about sponsorship. I will say that. Anyway, so that's the point about forgiveness. You know, usually if it's a real adult resentment, it's because I've done something to the person they retaliated. But I have to throw it in there because people who have been molested or something, they hear me talk about, well, you're manifesting your character defects on your resentment list. I didn't do anything when I was 7 years old to get molested. You know, did you have a question?
I'd like to offer something.
Sure.
When I did my last fourth step, it was trying to make a connection between, you know, have you ever done anything like that? Like somebody stole something from me or something.
Right.
Right. Well, I come to the sexual abuse and I'm like, I know I've never said anything. I need it bigger. I said, have I ever used another person to meet my, to meet my own needs or desires? And wow.
You mean I have to put that down?
No.
Yeah, I'm a troll. No, I appreciate what you're saying.
First, like,
you broadened it.
I'm trying to be better than that person did it to me. I'm not.
Oh, I forgot to tell you about the fifth column. Did I tell you about that? Did I go
over? That is the fifth column.
You use a fifth column. I've been doing that for years. I didn't even know there was another one.
Oh, there are many.
Oh, there are?
Yeah.
Well, when I do the four column inventories, and then I say, have I ever done the same thing to somebody else? That's my fifth column. And usually every name on the resentment list, I've usually got some part to play with that name because I stepped on their toes, they retaliated. And then, have I ever done the same thing to somebody else? So almost every name, I wind up with more than one amends to make out of the name. And if you look in the book, we're on the eighth step now. The book clearly says, we made this list when we did our inventory. We get our amends list right out of our inventory. And when I'm taking somebody through the steps, he's got his pads and columns, whatever format he's using here, right? But I'm usually sitting there with a pad and a pen, and I'm jotting down stuff like, okay, I can see what this guy's problem is, you know? And okay, he owes that one. I'm making a list to make sure he doesn't leave anybody off. But basically, by the time we get done with the inventory, we got a list of names. You know, the key to this whole thing is the key to the future. We looked at this list carefully. This list will give me a list of amends. Yes?
At least in my case, there were a number of people I owed amends to who I didn't resent. I think the fourth step is just the beginning.
The book says we also listed people we've harmed, even though there's no resentments in connection. I'm telling you, it's all in there.
Yeah,
it is in here. Oh, I'm very familiar. You've been around for a while, right? You missed me.
I'm in a number of programs.
Okay, yeah. It's all in the book. See, and not only are we going to make our amends list from our resentment list, because that's the key to the future, that's the real people that probably reflect some character defects, because I'm manifesting myself on this list. It's that thing about, you can behold the mote in thy neighbor's eye, but thou canst not behold the beam in thine own eye. In other words, here I am hating this guy for this, and I've done the exact same thing to somebody else. you know? And I had in my adult resentments. And like you said, sometimes that doesn't work with the child molestation stuff. But you broadened it. And probably your incident, whichever it was, and you do not have to do your fifth step at group level, kid. You do say that for responsive. That may have warped your relationship life with other people. See, it will manifest through your life. If you've been molested as a kid or incest, boy, that's a big deal. And it may have really screwed up your life. And that's some of the things we're looking for. We resolutely look for our mistakes. Maybe you've been mean to men ever since, and who can blame you, right? Because you're pissed off. Okay. All right, so we're into our eighth step list. So it's a two-part thing. We're making a list. Now here is right out of the book, page 77. Yes, I don't want to eat anymore. Yes, I don't want to waste time hating idiots anymore. But, page 77, at the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people around us. Frank Buchman found he could not attract people to Christianity when he was burning up with resentment, and that's how this whole thing started. If I got resentment, secrets, fears, guilt, financial wreckage, creditors I'm ducking, women I can't look in the eye because I know what I've done, I am not going to be a happy camper, nor am I going to be a beacon of recovery in Overeaters Anonymous. Okay? So I got to clean it up to open the channel for the higher power to put me to use and to start lighting candle meetings. There you go. Okay, two parts for the eighth step. You make the list. That's nothing, is making the list. If you got a sponsor who knows what he's doing and he's working on the book. Like I said, this is the mechanics, you know, writing the columns. The real stuff is for the CEO and the controller. And the CEO is God and the controller is your sponsor. And those two working with you as the guy making the clerk making the inventories, if they know what you're doing and hopefully working on the big book, you're going to come up with some insights. We looked at this list carefully because it held the key to the future. Oh yeah. Anybody here ever take formal religious training at a Catholic seminary or yeshiva or even Sunday school? Nobody? One lady. Where did you go? Which seminary? Okay. Did you read the Old Testament too? The Garden of Eden, right? It had a no-no tree. Don't touch. What was the name of that tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, wasn't it? Right? Why do they call it that?
Well, the story is that if they ate from the tree, then they would have the knowledge of good.
And why shouldn't they have that?
Because only God.
There you go. What this is about, yes, you got it. Only God should have the knowledge of what's good and what's evil. I got recovery ego. I'm a vain person, right? God takes that and creates a website. It's not up to me to separate the sheep from the goats. You see, this whole business is when I'm judging somebody on my resentment list and saying I'm the victim, they're the perp. You know, I'm innocent, they're guilty, and I can't see that. You know, that I've got a little of that in me too. See, I'm pretending I've got knowledge of good and evil, and I'm playing God. When you forgive an idiot on your resentment list, what you're doing is you're acting as if you're not playing God. I have no longer the right to hate people and judge people, especially if I've done the same thing to somebody else. Remember, we said this before. We had to quit playing God. The how and the why of it. Oh, this program, I don't know how it works. The how and the why of it. We had to quit playing God. Right there, this whole process of inventory, praying to see what my part in it is, what my defect is, getting willing to let go, getting praying the seven-step prayer to make the power and make the amends, making the amends to the people. I've got my fifth column. I've done the same thing to other people. I have no right to judge that guy for doing it to me anymore. I've done the same thing. I have to quit playing God. What does that mean? Deflation of ego. Ego. Chuck Chamberlain used to say it's your ego that keeps God out. Your real problem is separation from God. Your problem is not alcohol. The book says that too. Alcohol is but a symptom. If you don't cause any division. Your real problem is not pizza pies or ice cream or whatever your bitch food is, chocolate chip cookies or, you know, chips at night watching TV. That's not your problem. The problem is you're playing God. And it says explicitly in the book, this is a process of deflation. That's a quote out of the big book. It says explicitly in chapter 5 of the 12 and 12, OA's 12 steps are about ego deflation and death. That's what it's all about. Stop playing God. You have no right to judge anybody. You're a sick bastard. You have to forgive the other sick bastards. We're all sick bastards. You don't have to be friends with the sick bastard or pretend you like the sick bastard, but you have no right to judge the sick bastard like you have knowledge of the tree of good and evil. That's what it's all about. Get your ego down. You're just another swinging bozo on the bus or whatever they are. I'm going to get a little more bold for being taped. Okay. Forgiveness gets a bad name in Fox. How do I get willing? Yeah. How do you, right, you make a list? How do you get willing to give up to him? Yes. You have a question here?
I have a question. Does this mean we can't judge people who we know are doing evil in front of us, like being a child in public?
Well, the question for the tape is, I was asked, does this mean we don't have the right to judge people who are doing what we think is obvious evil in front of us, like beating a child in public? You have the right to stand up for your moral values, but judging is not quite the right word. You know, if he's doing, he might be sick, but the people have, the sociologists and criminologists almost uniformly will tell you that most child molesters have been molested themselves as a kid. Okay? They're sick. He's not, what he's doing is not right. You have the right to tell him to stop. You have the right to call a cop or child protective services. You're not, you know, you know your neighbor's beating their kids, you can call a child protective service. There's nothing wrong with that. Judgment means you have condemned him. As in, he might be sick, you know. Most child molesters molested as a kid. And you know why they molest other kids? For the same reason I was a bully. Because I was bullied. So you know what it's all about? Getting your power back. When you're an innocent kid and been sexually abused like that, you feel powerless, you have no control, you know. And so these people grow up with this subconscious desire to get their power back. And they wind up doing the same thing as somebody else that was done to them, to try and get their power back. You see, lack of power, that was our dilemma. You see? And the answer is, don't judge them, call child protective services. Okay? Judgment means, like, you know, maybe if the guy gets treatment, he'll be a good, decent guy. Yes?
Now, I was going to say, in my writing, where it says, where have I been selfish, self-seeking, fearful, and dishonest, 9 times out of 10, that's my dishonesty. I think I know everybody's motive for everything they do. And that's what drives my anger, is when I assign motives.
Interesting. And if the tape didn't pick it up, one of our audience suggested that they get into trouble when they judge everybody for what they're doing and assign a motive to it. And they feel that's dishonesty. Why do you feel that's dishonesty? Yeah.
Because my dishonesty, part of why I'm angry is because I think I would never do that if I was in your situation.
Oh,
and the
I
thing
see.
Is, I've done that and maybe even worse.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, judge not lest you be judged. That's from the Sermon on the Mount. Judge not lest you be judged. You see? I think it was a slogan program ever since I can remember. If you got one finger pointed at the other guy, you got 3 pointed back on you. See, and what the hell are they talking about? But once I've been through the steps as outlined in the book, I knew exactly what they were talking about. Judge not lest you be judged. That fifth column says, hey, you hate this guy. Guess what you just did to these other people? You have a question, Ross?
I see a lot of judgment in the program.
Right.
Like people that gain weight, I know what it is to feel angry.
Yeah.
People that gain weight, I see other people judging them. You get up and get a chip or a camel. And I was taught, you point one finger, three or pointing back.
Yeah.
I don't judge people for that. But
good.
I see a lot of them. What do you feel about that? That kind of judgment.
You know, I'll tell you, it's hard not to. People say, don't take other people's inventories. What's the first thing we hear? If you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, first thing we're telling newcomers is, check us out. See if you want what we have. Judgment is kind of cruel, because if I can be in a relapse, you know. And anybody can relapse. I did relapse early on. I hope that's my last relapse. Knock on wood, right? I don't know. I mean, my weight came up this month, and I called Zan. I still have a food sponsor's email. And Zan saying, well, it's acceptance, Roy. You're older. You may have to accept the fact that you ain't the spring chicken who came in here, you know? And I was able to give up. I mean, I've not been binging. I gave up a little food, actually. I may have to give up maybe soup, that's my salt. I may try and adjust, but I may have to accept the fact that I'm now such an age. When I came in, I was still running 4 or 6 miles a day. I can ride my bike now, but that's about it. But I have no right to judge. I could relapse tomorrow. I might get pissed off at that question and go on the air. But the truth of the matter is, judgment is, if you want what we have, you know, obviously if I want to be thin because I think it's healthier and it looks better, that's going to attract me. People who've had a spiritual awakening attract me. My first sponsor today, that dry drunk, I don't want what he has. I mean, that's what I would say. Excuse me. Yeah. I get upset here when I do that. But, you know, the truth of the matter is there's people around here who have what I want and there's people around here who don't have what I want. My goal is for me to be someone who has what I want. That's what it's all about. And with that in mind, I should keep my eye on my own inventory. Because what the book doesn't say, don't take other people's inventory. That's a misquote. What the book says is, if we were to grow, the inventory has to be ours, not the other man's. I can't grow spiritually taking your inventory. I might do you some good if you were willing to listen to what I had to say, and most people are not, unless they ask you to volunteer your information. But I'm not going to grow spiritually taking Roz's inventory. I can only grow spiritually taking my own inventory, or letting my sponsor take my inventory.
Well, I love what you said.
Pardon me?
I love what you said.
She's an intelligent woman. At what time do I have to quit? 5?
Yeah.
Let me repeat for those who didn't make the first session that maybe I can bring the speakers and play the little video on the slow mix tomorrow and the Bill Wilson 1951 CD where he tells his story of Ebby visiting him up close and personal, and you hear the simplicity of the message. No evangelicism, no judgment. Pray whatever God you think's out there. And during the first part when we were talking about where the program is, in my opinion, in the book, well, in the opinion of AA too, they're not changing a word of it for 71 years, the two most misquoted slogans in AA are, more will be revealed, it says God will disclose more to you than us. I feel that was kind of an agnostic jab. And the other one is, newcomers are the most important person in the room. It doesn't say that. It says frequent contact with newcomers and each other is the bright spot in our lives. Newcomers become important to me when they want this thing. I mean, otherwise, you know, who knows if they're coming back. I mean, I'm always polite, welcoming, kind as I can. You got to treat them with kid gloves. But the ones that get important to me are the ones who want to do the process. I don't waste time. The book says, we haven't gotten to steps 12, but the book says, don't waste time. Any more questions, any personal experiences you want to share with amends? My experience with amends is that making amends to that guy who intimidated me, realizing that I had done the same thing to somebody else, I was a cowardly bully, and that I manifested this clown on my resentment list because of the defect, that was a spiritual awakening for me. And after that, I was really awakened. This happened when I was about 7 years on the program. And another spiritual awakening was this guy that 17 years was full of it. The book was right all along. That was an awakening of the educational variety. This guy, I thought, I was impressed because he had 17 years and I was a newcomer. The book was right. That was an awakening. And I've been a book guy ever since. Go ahead, Brian. You have a question?
Yeah, I just
want to
ask about making the amends. And I'm not there yet, but it's been in the back of my mind since the last amends that I made.
Uh-huh.
There was a teacher that I owed an amends to.
Right.
Had a pretty big issue with her, and probably one of those people that wouldn't want to hear from me, and I certainly don't want to go and talk to her, but I made an attempt to get in touch with her and left a message on a voicemail, and got nothing back. And I didn't want to really send an email because, you know, I mean, I wasn't instructed to, but I mean, how? I guess my question is, how far do you go before you're at a place where, if you ever reach with someone that just doesn't want to hear from you, doesn't want, you know, you messed it up beyond the ability to give someone that amends?
Well, you do the best you can to make the approach. One girlfriend I had would not accept my letter. She wouldn't talk to me in person. I sent her a men's letter. She sent me 3 back, returned to sender. I had them hung from my ceiling on a mobile. These letters. But I sent a 4th one. I kept trying. About a year later, she took. She didn't send a 4th one back, so I considered being men's man. She wouldn't talk to me. I'll confer with my sponsor on that. That's good. But talk to me again about that. And as a sponsor, if I don't know the exact right, the men's are tricky. You got to really know what you're doing. Yeah, this I don't have one. Book bumpers put them down on index cards, and you're supposed to mark a plus if you can make it right away, a minus if you're not ready right now, and a 0 if I ain't never apologizing to this jerk. I mean, it's not in here. But the point is, they're tricky. And I have screwed up amends. Many amends. You wind up doing more damage than you meant to. By the way, if you gossiped about somebody or slandered them, you do not go up to the person and tell them, you know, I've been bad-mouthing you all over the program, telling everybody what an asshole you were. That's not an amends. What you do is you go to the person to whom you slandered and say, you know, I was shooting my mouth off about that guy and I was just jealous and that was my ego. I was really wrong to do that. You go out to the person to whom you gossiped. You don't tell a person, you know, I've been calling you a scumbag for the last 5 years behind your back. That doesn't make them feel better. That's what they're... I screwed that one up once. I can't tell you how many men's are screwed up. The best thing I can tell you about men's is be careful. Definitely get with your sponsor on the amends, because they're tricky. Nobody does a perfect 4th and 5th step. You forget something doesn't even occur to you, you know, it wasn't even an issue, you didn't realize it was resentment. Nobody can do a perfect 4th, but amends are tricky because you can really do some damage. So let me confer on that one. I will seek counsel on that one. Did you have somebody? Yes.
Thanks very much for your service today. I wanted to ask about harm and what exactly constitutes harm. And I get the whole discuss it with your sponsor business, and I get the obvious harms, and most of them are financial in my case.
Oh.
Yeah. And those are pending.
Right.
I'm on step 7.
Okay.
But just the garden variety, like, I didn't show up at your party because I didn't have clothes to wear because I'm too fat, like those kinds of...
I had one of those.
Yeah, like those kind of garden
variety. Didn't show up at my cousin's wedding.
Are those, like, mostly living amends, or how do you... Can you talk about the harm?
You can, if you really feel you've harmed them. My cousin basically was divorced from the woman within a year, so he didn't really care. But I did turn down an invitation to a wedding because I just gained 40 pounds again. And I tried to pretend like, well, those relatives, you know, and he said, oh, we don't care if you're fat. They saw right through it, you know, but I didn't go to the guy's wedding. I think I made a kind of muttered a half-ass amends years later when I came on the program. He didn't care. Harm, let's read it. Never leave home without your 1930s dictionary, folks. We're doing the work here. Harm, to inflict harm upon, damage, injure, or hurt. That which inflicts injury or loss or the injury inflicted hurt. Offense against right or morality, a wrong. Did you hurt her? You didn't want to snub somebody's wedding because you were overweight. You can make amends for that, in my opinion. I would just say, you know, I was having problems with my weight. I was really insecure and embarrassed. I hope it didn't hurt you that I didn't attend your wedding. I meant no disrespect. I love you. Is there any way I can make it right? There's a big difference between an apology and an amend. The book says, a remorseful muttering of I'm sorry will not do.
I was wrong.
Okay. Will not. How can I make it right? The book thumpers like that one, which I like. How can I make this right? Is there anything I can do to make it up? We'll throw the ball in their court. Let them tell you what you can do to heal the event. That's one of the things that I like about this group. They're very, very, very thorough and intelligent about their amend. What do you have?
These are ducky.
Duct tape? I'm going to get this rebound, but I didn't have time to before this workshop. So, and then they're tricky. More questions. We got time. Her first, and then Ms. Lee. Go ahead.
Okay, you said if you rely on self, will you collide with others and build a resentment? So my question is, so if you rely on God, you never build a resentment?
Well, resentments can happen if somebody wrongs you.
But you only get a resentment if you rely on self, will?
Only get resentment if you rely on self, will? No, I don't think it's... I think you can get resentments when you're asking God for guidance. You can run into some sick people. But when you, if you got a resentment, you should at least subject it to this process to see if it was self-will that created it. Now, you know, it says, the question was, every time I have a resentment, is it me? Is it my self-will that's doing this? Well, no, you can be an innocent victim of a crime. That happens. I've seen it happen to people that I, you know, in a blackout 32 years ago, I almost killed four innocent people. They weren't doing anything wrong. They were driving correctly. I was drunk. I almost killed them. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. You should just subject your resentment to this process and see if you do have a part. And if you do have a, if you don't have a part, if your sponsor's got it together, you know what he's going to say? The guy was an asshole. Stay away from him. Forgive him. You don't have to have anything to do with him. To forgive someone doesn't mean you like him. Emmett Fox. It just means you're not interested in wasting time thinking about how you're going to retaliate. You can say to the person, you know, you really hurt me. I don't want anything to do. The answer to the question is not, you're not always, it's not always your fault. But you subject the resentment to the inventory process to see if you got a part in it. That's what this is about. You know, sometimes you are an innocent victim. Certainly a kid molested by an adult is a perfect example of that. If that doesn't answer your question, see me afterwards. I want to get a couple more questions in on tape.
I want to talk about an amendment I'm going to make. When I was a little girl, I heard the matches, like acting out, and I burned down my grandmother's garage, all the stuff they had.
Was this when you were a kid?
Yeah.
All right, Roz burned down her grandmother's garage when she was a kid.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I wanted to make amends, but mostly everybody had passed away except my aunt.
Right.
So... and it was Passover, okay?
Right.
So I went there and I made amends. I told her I burnt down the garage.
Right.
Because you're lying. You could never have done that. She said, because it was a little boy down the street. So nobody would believe that I burnt down the garage. But I made amends. And
yeah.
Nobody would believe I burnt
down
the garage.
No, you did your part.
Yeah.
If I was your sponsor, I'd say, look, you tried to make amends. But, you know, they didn't believe you.
But I would.
I had a friend of mine who did burn down, like, a social club. And he went up to this social club and said, I burned it down 20 years ago. And this is, what do you want? How much do I owe for the social company? What are you talking about? I thought he was nuts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you try the best you can with amends.
That's 50 years later.
Yeah, you can't predict what they're going to do with it. Anybody else have one last question? I know you had a hand.
Well, it's not a question. Do you want a story or do you not want a story?
Do you want to get a story on the tape? Come closer to the mic. Is it a great story?
It's a good story.
It's a good story? All right, let's see if we get the one.
Can
use that mic? Will that get picked up on the...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Use that mic. Make sure it's on.
Hi.
Check the mic. Is it on? Okay.
Yeah, speak into it.
Right. Yes. I jump-started my first amends. I think I was about 4 months into program, and I was going to a big number college reunion, and I was not on the ninth step. But I think the worst thing I ever did intentionally to anybody is the way I broke up with my college boyfriend. And there were literally 51 people in my college graduating class, and I figured 35 or 40 of us would be at this reunion, and I didn't really want to see him and feel about myself the way I would feel about myself if I hadn't made amends. So I called my sponsor and said, okay, can I do this in advance of, you know, the real time we're at the ninth step?
Okay.
And she said yes, and I got in touch with him because I knew how to do that. He answered the phone at about 100-person office. That was unusual. He said, this is so-and-so. I said, I'm looking for so-and-so. This is so-and-so. He said, here's my email. I sent him an email with apology. All my fault, not your fault. You were perfect. I was bad. You know, and which wasn't entirely true, but that's the way it was true for an amend. And, you know, and he said, oh, no problem. And I went to that reunion feeling perfectly fine when I saw him. It's for me. It's not for him. It's for me. He could have said, you're a total shit. And I think I still would have felt okay. You know, I mean, I think that's true.
Let me say one thing. You got to close. I hope some of you guys come back tomorrow for 10, 11, and 12. At least I got some of the material covered. Maybe we'll have the speaker. And Dan asks his Big Book Awakening guy, page 81 on steps 89, making the approach, always make amends face to face at a grave site. I have grave site events to do. I've made my mess in that site. If it's not possible, do face to face, use a phone call or letter. I've used letters. You say to them, this is why I'm here. I'm here because I feel I've wronged you. I did some harm to you. This is the harm I'm pretty clear on. Are there any other harm I'm not aware of that you need to tell me about? Throwing the ball back in their court. You need to tell me how this, any of this hurt you personally or in your company. Well, is there anything I can do to make it right? And if it's a financial amends, you arrange the best payment deals you can. Somebody mentioned financial amends. The best payment deals you can. I've done my time in a lot of 12-step programs, including DA. I've got 28 years in Al-Anon, too. I couldn't stay sober without Al-Anon, boy. Because I don't hang out in bars anymore. The sickest people I've met in the last 32 years have been in Al-Box and Arms. In a way. But one thing I learned in DA, I did some good time in DA. It's a great program. Total respect for that program. They take the 12 steps and focus it on money in a very pragmatic, practical level. And the book says this is a practical program of action. That's a quote from the Big Book. It's all in there. I'm telling you today. What they say is, when I want to make amends for money I owe, if I'm totally depriving myself or making my life so small or uncomfortable that it's agony for me to live and earn money, it's not serving any purpose. If you owe, if you got to make your rent and you got like $300 excess money to cover food and everything after the rent, you can't have a debt service of $150 a month because you're just starving yourself and you won't earn to your potential. You got to make the best reasonable financial plan that doesn't put you or your family in disorder because you got to be able to live and earn. The more you earn, the quicker you'll pay off the money. And you'll be surprised how people, but I can't accept $10 a week. You send it anyway. And you keep sending it. The next thing you know, you got a better job. Now you're paying him $25 a week and he's not complaining so much. Next thing you know, you got a better job. You're paying $50 a week. Next thing you know, the debt's paid. Amends are tricky. And that's why I like this particular group. They're fanatics on the amends. They insist on making the amends. My first sponsor, no offense, I went to him and he said, hey, you don't have to make that amend. I would never say that to a sponsor. I had my spiritual awakening making an amend to somebody I hated. And the book says I'm going to get more out of that than anything else, and the book was right. You're never going to see a sponsee of mine not making his amends. Why would I deprive my sponsee from the spiritual awakening? Is that responsible sponsorship? See you tomorrow.